Well, welcome back to the table, ladies. Glad you could join us. Today we are doing lesson number 9 in our Bible study. Our teacher, Connie Stanfill, is here. Hello, Connie.
Hello.
Thanks for being here, Connie. You know, we're right now starting chapter 2 in 1 Peter, and you're going to be focusing on just a few verses there, 1 through 3. What will we be learning about today?
Well, we're really going to learn about how it is we grow in the Lord. And the secret is it's going to be through his word.
All right. Well, why don't I read his word? We'll read the verses that you're concentrating on, and then we will let you teach here. It says this, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good."
All right. Thank you, Amy. So Peter's making a transition here. We had learned at the end of chapter 1 about just how God's word stands forever. It's imperishable. It's a living and abiding word. And then he ends chapter 1 by saying, "And this word is the good news that was preached to you." And so he's talking to believers, and he's reminding them again of that word that was preached to them and had great effect because they've come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as believers, that changes who they are and how they live. And so he begins with, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander." And Peter here is talking about 5 different sins of our speech and our attitude that do not become us as believers in Jesus Christ. That word malice really means to have a wicked ill will, just an evil desire for other people. And deceit, of course, talks about any type of deliberate dishonesty, of not speaking truth or of trying to deceive folks. And hypocrisy, that's probably a sin that's seen or leveled against Christians quite a bit. And it's when we pretend to be something we're not, to pretend to be more pious than we are, pretend to be loving someone, in some sense claiming something that's not really true on the inside. Envy is, that's the green monster. It really is a resentful discontent of what someone else has. And I can't think of anything really more destructive to a body of believers than to so covet what someone else has that you actually want to take it away from them and give it to yourself. That is wicked. And I think the solution to envy, which any of us might struggle with, especially in the days of social media when we're looking at what other people are posting and saying, "Oh, look at my wonderful life," or "my vacation," or whatever. I think what we need to do is look to God our Father and realize he gives us good gifts and look to him. And then finally, slander. And slander is really speaking in a malicious way, speaking things that are true or partially true, but the intent is to harm someone. It doesn't have anything to do with building them up. And so all of those things are things we are called to put off. And that's a consistent theme throughout the New Testament. We've got some scriptures I'm going to have Amy read from Ephesians that, again, talk about putting off the sin and putting on Jesus Christ.
Okay, and you've picked Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 23, and it says, "Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice."
Thank you. And so Paul here in Ephesians was speaking of many of the same things that Peter is telling us, and it has to do with ridding ourselves, putting off, taking off sin, and in contrast, putting on the things that are good and right. Going on here, though, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we find that Peter then says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk." And so here he's likening the believers. He's not calling them immature babies, but he's saying just like a baby cries in hunger for milk, we are also to long and cry for the pure spiritual milk, which really is God's word, because that's how we learn and grow. And it's interesting from the Greek, that pure word means eidolon, which means without anything that's deceitful or without anything that's not completely true. And then we'd had the word deceit in the verse prior to that. And again, it's that same thing. Peter's doing a play on words and saying, okay, let's be pure. Let's not be deceitful. And truly, I think is one thing as believers, we need to acknowledge God is true and he's faithful and we are called to be the same as him. And probably another thing that completely is very easy to destroy Christian believers is deceit. If we do not speak the truth one to another. All right, so we're to long for that pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And so here we have a key about how we grow in the Lord. We do it by studying his word and knowing his word and remembering his word and bringing it to mind and telling it to each other and all those things. And so throughout scripture, we've been told about the importance of God's word. Many of the Psalms speak about longing for God's word and growing it in that. And so we have some incredible verses about that. Psalm 1, the first Psalm talks about, blessed is the man then whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And then Psalm 119 is a long psalm that has many, many, it's all about God's word and what's important. And so I have a few selected verses I'd ask Amy to read, because those are really going to be helpful in us just framing up again what is so important about God's word.
Sure. The first one comes from verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And then verse 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And 111 says, your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. And finally, 174 says, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight.
Thank you. And so here the psalmist is saying words similar to what Peter's talking. He's talking about longing for God's word. And then he also talks about tasting God's word and that it's good. And interestingly, in the next section here of verse 3 that we're reading, studying today, Peter writes, if indeed you have, and actually the Greek word there really means since you have. It's not a uncertain thing, but it's actually because you have tasted that the Lord is good. And so it's that same idea. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And that's from Psalm 34:8. Psalmist writes, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And part of our whole just coming to understand and dealing with what Peter is telling us about how we grow and live as women is to understand again and come back to the cross and our salvation. And I think in Paul's letter to Titus, he so beautifully talks about the goodness of God in our salvation and why that's so important. And so I'm going to have Amy then read Titus 3, 4 to 7.
All right. It says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Yes. And so, again, God is so good to us and has given us just incredible blessing in salvation, but he's also given us his word to teach us and help us grow, to correct us. We can think of the verse, Amy probably remembers it, about just all the benefits of God's word.
Oh, yes.
But this truly, I would just challenge each and every one of us to make it a priority to study God's word, to pray God's word, to contemplate it, to just be in it so that it changes us.
Yes. And, you know, if you haven't been in it very often, or if you're among the 66% of women who say they wish that they were in it more than they actually are, good news, we can be. And that's what these Bible studies are designed to help you do, to draw you near, give you a taste of the Lord, and to see that He's good, and to learn to yearn to spend more time with Him. And by the way, today's lesson notes are titled Grow Up Into Salvation, and you can find those on our Bible Studies tab at naomistable.com. There's an assignment there for you to do either on your own, or I know some of you are doing those in groups. Great. Download those, share them with your friends, and be in the Word together. Nancy and I are going to be back in just a moment to talk more about this, so stick around. We will be right back.